Hello and welcome to the Summer Rise. I'm Roshan Mohammed Saleh. Egypt is destroying a town bordering the Gaza Strip so that its military can complete a so-called security zone abutting the Palestinian territory. The military are bulldozing Rafah as part of a sweeping response to attacks on Egyptian security personnel in the Sinai Peninsula. Cairo has justified its drastic measures as necessary to deter the smuggling of weapons and militants across the border with Gaza. But Gazans, whose borders are controlled by Israel and Egypt, say the security zone leaves them more isolated and bereft of the tunnels that had provided their only outlet to the world. On today's show, we'll be analysing Egypt's role in the ongoing strangulation of Gaza. But first, here's a report from our correspondent there, Ashraf Shannon.
Egypt has been playing into the hands of Israel by increasing the already choking blockade in place since 2007. The Egyptian military bombed and destroyed over 1,000 tunnels along the border with Gaza that used to serve as a lifeline for Gaza's population of around 1.8 million. Tunnels were used to bring in badly needed goods into the blockaded seaside territory. To make things even worse, the Egyptian military has begun evacuating hundreds of families in the northern Egyptian town of Rafah, paving the way for the total eradication of the town to create a buffer zone along the border with the Gaza Strip. Egypt claims tunnels were used by terrorists to carry out attacks inside Egypt, but all Palestinian factions have denied any involvement in such attacks.
They must open the crossings and ease the restrictions. The Egyptians have always been our brothers, and I don't understand why they are doing this to us. They are choking the Gaza Strip for no reason. They're isolating us and making things hard for everyone here.
The Palestinians of Gaza are already suffering from the recent war coupled with the tight blockade. Poverty and unemployment rates are already high and the people can't stand more pressure.
Egypt has bombed and destroyed the tunnels and they are destroying the Egyptian town of Rafah on the border with Gaza. What they are doing will only suffocate us and make our life worse than it is. This increases the blockade and increases unemployment.
Egypt also keeps the Rafah crossing, Gaza's sole gateway to the outside world, bypassing Israel closed most of the time. Analysts say Egyptian restrictions will further worsen humanitarian situation in Gaza.
Egypt has tightened the siege on the Gaza Strip for the past year. This would cause many problems for the Palestinians, especially humanitarian effect on all families in the Gaza Strip. This closure of Gaza from the Egyptian side means that tunnels between Gaza and Egypt has been blocked. People will not be able to move in and out of the Gaza Strip.
Amid an Israeli-Egyptian blockade, Palestinians of the Gaza Strip blame their suffering and hardships on what they describe as an international conspiracy of silence. Ashraf Shannon, The Sun Will Rise, Gaza.
To discuss Egypt's position on Gaza and the Palestinian struggle in general, we have two very knowledgeable guests in the studio with us today. Mohammed Sudan is the Foreign Relations Secretary for Egypt's now banned Freedom and Justice Party and a senior member of the Muslim Brotherhood. He served under deposed President Mohamed Morsi. And Ibrahim Halawi is a London-based researcher and PhD candidate. His research focuses on power dynamics and counter-revolution in the Arab world. Ibrahim also writes for the Middle East Eye website. Welcome, gentlemen, both of you, to the studio today. Thanks for coming in. Mohammed Sudan, if I could start with you. I mean, obviously, This week, the Rafah border has been open for 3 days. Thousands have been trying to get through. Yeah. Probably only a few hundred might make it. Yeah. Could you give us some idea of the kind of suffering that Palestinians face, with this border being closed?
Actually, the Rafah border is the only channel for the Sage people. It's 1,800,000 people living in this kind of small area. Mm. And this is the only channel for the whole world, especially for education or for treating or for even feeding, because Israel, in the beginning, when they gave the power to the new power, the Palestinian power,
yeah.
There are some kind of 4,000 machinists. They let it come from Israel to the Gaza Strip.
Yeah.
And after 206, when they made the stage and they blockaded, they stopped all of this. They only provide them with 84 merchandise instead of 4,000. And yeah, then so there's it's a big problem. And they start to take this from the tunnels. Yeah. I mean, they compensate this through the tunnels. And now,
the
after
tunnels,
the military
yeah.
coup, they blockade all the tunnels. And then life there is very, very
It's getting
difficult.
Worse. I mean, Egypt yeah. say they're doing this, destroying the tunnels, closing yeah. the border, because their military personnel are being killed. And ultimately, it's militants and weapons coming from Gaza that is doing this killing. How do you respond to that?
This is lying. All this is lying. Look at the era of Mubarak or the era of Morsi. Nothing happened from this. Nothing happened. All this time, Mubarak knows that there are more than 1,200 tunnels between Gaza and Egypt. And life was going there. Nothing happened there. Even very, very few things. And we know that that was not from the Gazan people, that was from the Egyptian security forces, not yeah. from the Gazan people.
Ibrahim, if I could ask you the same kind of question, is that a credible reason they're giving for, a military security reason for destroying these tunnels?
Definitely not. I mean, of course, it's despicable to have Egyptian soldiers being killed, if that's true or not. But at the same time, we have to understand that this is a reaction. The military regime in Egypt is forcing those people, and they are giving them no other option. That you are asking those people to survive on the basics. Even that is being now also not sure that they would yeah. have it anymore. And then at the same time, you're saying that they are doing trouble. But the fact is, someone started, just like Mr. Muhammad just said. The military regime is using military policy on civilians, and they are dehumanizing those people.
Yeah, but I mean, but just to kind of hammer this point home, because there's no one from Cairo here to put their point of view. Who's killing these Egyptian personnel? Is it Gazans, or if it's not Gazans, who is it?
Well, it's definitely not Gazans, because Gazans are civilians. So when you say Gazans, this is part of the discourse of the military regime. When you say Gazans, they are treated as if they are terrorists, militants, who are only living in order to kill Egyptians and threaten the national security. This is not true. Gazans are just like Egyptians. They're trying to go on with their lives in a civil manner.
Mm.
So definitely there are resistance in Gaza, but the resistance in Gaza is against Israel. It's not against the Egyptians, not yeah. against the national security of Egypt.
Can I ask you the same question? Who's killing these Egyptian troops?
Yeah, it's very logic. Why is the Gazan people killing the military Egyptian people? It's an opposite. But the target of them, they want to have a smooth life. Even they want to get this boat open. But if they kill the military Egyptian people, then they close this border. It's not logic. But who is? We have to remember that this is an reaction. If it's true,
yeah.
This is number one. And number two, that it's why he is evacuate the Sinai people, and Rafah and Sheikh Zuwait, and yeah. he said that. He said that before. Sisi said that before. If I evacuated people from Rafah and Sheikh Zuwait,
yeah.
and then I'm going to make a new enemy, and he's
so
doing
it,
this.
It could be literally people in the Sinai themselves rather than coming yeah. from Gaza. We're going to continue this in a few seconds, yeah. I promise. As you know, we like to keep across what's trending on social media on this show, as well as highlighting the comments you've been sending us on Facebook and Twitter. So here's Camelia Shambayati with what you've been saying on Palestine.
Hello and welcome to the Social Media Roundup. There's been a long-running social media campaign called open the Rafah crossing permanently and unconditionally, that has called on people to continue to demand that the Egyptian government open the Rafah crossing. And people from all around the world have been showing their solidarity with the Palestinians by sending photos urging the Egyptian government to end their complicity in Israeli genocide. And people have had a lot to say about this on Facebook, according to Ray from the UK. The Egyptians have become the puppets of the Zionists. Shame on them. Another Facebook user called United Boycott says that Egypt is a disgrace. It's disgusting what they are doing to their brothers and sisters. Moving on, in a historic trip to Palestine, a group of black rights activists for racial justice from all across the US have released a video showing their support for the Palestinian struggle against Israeli apartheid.
We came here to Palestine to stand in love and revolutionary struggle with our brothers and sisters. We come to a land that has been stolen by greed and destroyed by hate. We come here and we learn laws that have been co-signed in ink but written in the blood of the innocent. And we stand next to people who continue to courageously struggle and resist the occupation.
In other social media news, to express their outrage, Palestinians recently sprayed graffiti outside the French Cultural Center in Gaza over the Charlie Hebdo cartoon of Prophet Muhammad. Police were deployed outside the compound, and Palestinians have also rallied in the Al-Aqsa compound in East Jerusalem, Al-Quds, against the magazine. Serious doubts have been raised about France's stance on freedom of expression, especially since they have banned pro-Palestinian demonstrations. If we turn to Twitter, pro-Palestine activists have cleverly taken on the viral hashtag Je suis Palestine to draw attention to their daily oppression. Algia from the UK tweeted, I decided not to get consumed with the Charlie Hebdo issue and the hypocrisy around it. Palestine is more worth my attention. Hashtag Je suis Palestine. And finally, a Twitter group called Palestine Social posted this poster to inform people that 17 journalists were killed during the latest aggression on Gaza. That's all the social media news I have for you. Please be sure to like and follow our Facebook and Twitter accounts to keep updated with us, and also where you can tell us your thoughts.
Mohammed Sudan, if I could ask you about the changing attitudes in Egypt towards Palestinians in general. I mean, obviously you were forced out of the country after President Morsi was ousted. Yeah. Have attitudes towards Palestinians, there seems to be a lot of kind of media demonization against Palestinians coming out of Cairo these days.
You know that the first time of the coup, in the military coup, took place in Egypt. That was the first message from the media, because and from the leak, which we got a few days ago, from the CIS office, that how they treat the media. And then while the first time they said that the Palestinian people, they cooperate with the Muslim Brotherhood to get them out of the prison, that was the first lie. And the other lie is that they were working with the rebels in Egypt against the Mubarak, and that's also lie. And then finally they start to, in Gaza, when the UNES attacked Gaza, in last Ramadan,
yes,
they said that the hours in the shows, in the Egyptian show, that the team be given orders for this, that they hate all the they were cooperate with the Zionism against the innocent people in Gaza. And I was wondering, we never had that before.
Yeah, I mean, I want to ask you about that period when Israel attacked Gaza, because the Muslim Brotherhood was in power at that point, but the Rafah border did remain closed. Were you unable? Didn't you have the power to open it?
They've been opening, and also they let the tunnels, because we have an peace treaty with Israel, and then we try to respect it. But even though that the border was open 24 hours in the era of Morsi, never been blockaded, but after the military coup in the first second. They closed the border.
Ibrahim, has there been a strategic shift since Morsi was ousted, and has Egypt become closer to the US and Israel? Or
I would like to differentiate between the military regime and the people of Egypt. I would like to believe and trust that the Egyptians themselves do still uphold the Palestinian cause. It's really difficult and unacceptable to think that the Egyptian people have simply decided to succumb to Israeli discourse and accept the fact that the Palestinians do not have the righteous cause to Palestine. So I would say that the shift is systematic in discourse of power. So the military regime was able to to control the media in Egypt and force this kind of dehumanization process on the Palestinians. Mm. But I would like to believe that the Egyptians still, at any point, if things change,
I mean, I've been to Egypt many times. It's a very polarized country, but some pro-regime supporters would say, you know, first of all, Egypt has to concentrate on its own affairs, not on the affairs of the Palestinians or anybody else abroad, the Syrians, et cetera, et cetera. And secondly, they would say that, you know, it's Egyptians first. Yeah. This is our country. Palestinians are interfering in our internal affairs. How would you respond to that?
Yeah, it's quite interesting because this was also part of the ultra-nationalist trend, but it's a trend to me. Like Nasser, Abdel Nasser, he used to say that the Egyptians and Egypt comes first, but still he was inclusive and he believed that Palestine and the Palestinian cause is also a priority for Egyptians. It's part of the identity of Egyptians if you think about the Egyptian history. So this idea that everyone that is other is against us is an ultra-nationalist trend, and I would like to believe that Egyptian people at some point would really denounce it.
Yes. All right, well, we're going to conclude this discussion in a few minutes' time. But regular viewers of the show will know that we really do our best here to cover the Palestinian stories that the mainstream media ignores. So here's a quick roundup of what's been happening in Palestine.
The International Criminal Court has opened an inquiry into attacks in Palestinian territories, paving the way for a possible war crimes investigation against Israelis. The decision follows the Palestinian signing of the Rome Statute, which paves the way for them to become members of the court. Israel's war on Gaza last summer left more than 2,000 people dead. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, as well as Israel's main backer, the US, opposed the court's decision. John Baird, the Canadian foreign minister, was pelted with eggs and shoes by angry protesters as he left a meeting with the Palestinian Authority in Ramallah. Baird was unhurt, but the embarrassing episode was symptomatic of the cold reception the Canadian delegation received during its brief visit. Saeb Erekat, the chief Palestinian negotiator, said that Canada was on the wrong side of history by blindly supporting the Israeli occupation and its apartheid policies. Egyptian authorities opened the Rafah crossing with the Gaza Strip for 3 days this week. Students, patients and holders of foreign residency were allowed to leave after a request by Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas. Egypt closed the Rafah border crossing, Gaza's only access to the outside world not under Israeli control, last October, following an attack in the Sinai Peninsula that left 31 Egyptian troops dead. And finally, the Italian parliament has held a preliminary meeting to discuss recognizing a Palestinian state on the borders of 1967. The proposal was submitted by three leftist parties, which hold a minority of the seats in parliament. Italian right-wing parties will undoubtedly oppose the move, as they're against the unity government the Palestinian president has vowed to form with Hamas.
Mohamed Sudan, I mean, I don't want this program to be kind of demonizing Egypt or the Egyptian people. I mean, would you agree with Ibrahim that there is a... I mean, even in Rafah, on the Egyptian side of the border, I mean, thousands of people have been evacuated from their homes and must be very angry about that. Do you think there's a significant constituency that opposes the Egyptian regime's policies amongst ordinary people I'm talking about?
Actually, the majority of the Egyptian people is with Palestine case. Mm. And they are supporting the Palestinians 100%. But only the media victims, especially in the era of Sisi, when the military coup starts, they start to use the media against the Palestinian people. And then I consider all that people as the media victims. But this is the feeling of the Egyptian people, is they were 100% with the Palestinian people and with this case.
But, I mean, Egypt is such an important country, isn't it, for Palestine, because the Palestinians can't face Israel alone.
It's a priority.
It's a kind of a tragedy that Palestinians and Egyptians are becoming so estranged, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is. But believe me, this is very few Egyptian people are taking this kind of feeling, belong to the deceased sites.
Yeah.
But the majority are with the Palestinian case, and they consider it is a priority case for the majority.
But Sisi isn't going anywhere, is he?
Sisi is working as an agent for the Zionists, 100%. And this kind of agenda, the Israeli people tried to do it while Mubarak's era, and Mubarak was very crafty. He didn't give them this chance. And never put this security area between Gaza and Sinai. Now he said about, he's talking about 1,000 meters and the long of 13.5 kilometers, but I think that his target is 5 kilometers.
Yeah.
He said that, Sisi said that.
Yeah.
Rafah and Sheikh Zuwait, and means 5 kilometers.
Yes.
Not as 1,000 meters.
Destroying a whole town.
Yeah.
Ibrahim, can anything reverse this trend? I mean, are the Palestinians going to be hostage to Egypt as it sorts itself out, in this kind of revolutionary process it's going through, or this period of turmoil?
Well, I think as long as the military regime is in power, this is going to keep on happening. But there's some hope in the civil society in Egypt, the ability to kind of do some kind of pressure to denounce the dehumanization of the people of Sinai, to communicate with the people of Sinai, because there's also systematic attempts to treat Sinai as an island outside the country.
Yeah.
So there's a possibility for change, or at least less militarized policies if the people of Egypt
Do Egyptians know what's going on? There's a bit of a media blackout, isn't there?
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, does the civil society that you're talking about, does that still exist in Egypt?
Not in a modern sense, but I still think, because most of the activists are detained, NGOs are not allowed to work properly, but I still believe that the people of Egypt know how to mobilize. So as long as you have the experience to mobilize, you can communicate with the people in Sinai, you can create pressure groups to some organic initiatives that can pressure the regime.
Is the situation, in terms of Gaza's isolation now, is the situation worse than it even was under Mubarak?
Definitely, which is really sad. But it's also, you cannot blame just the regime for that. You have to blame Hamas. Also, the way they have been running Gaza, the way they have been doing the policies, foreign policies, regional policies, it has.
Why do you say that? Why blame Hamas? What have they done?
I wouldn't blame Hamas in a sense. I'm just saying that we cannot simply say that the Egyptian regime is also simply only responsible for this.
Yeah.
There's also the Gazans, the people ruling Gaza, basically, which is Hamas.
I'll give you an opportunity to respond to that. You might disagree with that.
No, I'm not agree with this. I'm not agree with it, because they had only a chance for 1 year, and this year, which is started in the 2006 after their election. I think that they are going great, but Israel.
You're talking about Hamas, or you're talking about
yes, because Hamas get in power in 2006, and since that time they are not. It's the same with Morsi. Since he started to get a power, then they created a lot of enemies against him. Israel, they start to embargo the Gaza, and they start to stop all the subsidies and providing gas and oil.
So they didn't get a chance to
rule properly. Yeah, it was very difficult. All the salaries, they stopped the salaries, and they stopped.
We could continue all day, but I'm sorry, we're out of time.
Yeah,
I hope you managed to make
a big
the points that you wanted to make. Yeah. Thank you very much for coming in. That is all the time we have for today. So once more, thank you to our guests, and please don't forget to get busy on social media telling us what you think of the issues raised in this program. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you again next time for more discussion and analysis on Palestine. Bye-bye.